All right, the number six, incomplete mankind. God's goal for mankind is to have this number 66 written, lived within us. This is Tony's study from several years back. Did a very good job on this number. He wants us to live this number out, realize that we are incomplete. This two times three witness. That's what six is. It's two times three, and it's also is a process, which is what the number three stands for. It's happening on both the first and the second Adam, the one event that is common to all men mentioned in Ecclesiastes 9:2, which says all things come alike to all. There's one event to the righteous and to the wicked, to the first man Adam and to the last man Adam, to the good and to the clean. To the unclean, to him that sacrifices, and to him that sacrifices not. As is the good, so is the sinner. And he that swears is he that fears an oath. They all have to be judged. We all have to give up this flesh. Notice that we're not told that all things, this is very important here. I really appreciate what Tony says here. Notice that we're not told that all things come alike to all at the same time. Neither does Ecclesiastes 9:2 say that all things take the same time, length of time. Those in the first resurrection, signified by the birth of the man-child, are being judged in this age and will therefore be raised from the dead in that blessed and holy first resurrection, what Christ called the resurrection of life. Revelation 20, verse 4, I saw thrones and they sat on them, and judgment was given to them, and I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus and for the word of God, and which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark in their foreheads or on their hands, and they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. But the rest of the dead who didn't reign with Christ, who aren't going to reign with Christ 1,000 years, not in the first resurrection, lived not again until the 1,000 years were finished. The rest of the dead are signified by the time required to purify the mother when she brings forth a man child. A maid child, a maid child. This is the first resurrection. Blessed and holy is he that has part in the first resurrection. On such, the second death has no power. After all, they died in the first death. But they shall be priests of God in Christ and shall reign with him 1,000 years. The first six in the 66 days of the purification of the woman who brings forth a man child is the marred Adam, who is marred in the hand of the potter and in need of becoming a new creature. The only way this purification process of blood from a woman who gives birth to a man child can be completed is to have the second Adam, Christ, conquer the first Adam, the first six, who is a beast who cannot make war with his flesh without Christ within that flesh. Two sixes are mentioned for the purification process of the first of the birth of a maid child, showing that it's accomplished by the witness of the Holy Spirit working within each individual. But also to demonstrate that this judgment is the double judgment of God decreed upon the maid child as opposed to the man child. Scripture declares we cannot make war with the beast, which we are, until our blood, which is the symbol of our words, is purified by his blood, which blood, Christ's blood, is the symbol of the words of God, which all men of all time must eventually live by. We can see that the number 33 represents Christ and the elect easily enough. However, it may be a little less obvious to see that the number 66 represents the unfaithful wife of Christ and what the unfaithful wife of Christ, the church, has to do to be purified and inherit eternal life. It's all mentioned in these verses of Leviticus 12, verse 5. If she bear a maid child, then she shall be unclean 2 weeks, as in her separation, and she shall continue in the blood of her purifying 66 weeks. 66 days, excuse me. She's unclean for 2 weeks, showing that the unfaithful wife of Christ must go through two parts to go to unto perfection. The first part of her purification, the first week of separation, signifies the time spent in the churches of Babylon. By all of us, we're all there. By those who are not being judged in this life. When we, what we sow, that shall we also reap, applies to both the elect and to those who are not elect in this present time. In this present time, in other words, those who are not in the first resurrection still reap what they sow in this life. Galatians 6, 7, be not deceived, God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man sows, that shall he also reap. For he that sows to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that sows to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. Those who believe, who are of the great harlot in this present time, that they can eat of her false doctrines with their unfaithful mother, they can wipe their mouth and say, I've done no wickedness. I sit a queen and shall see no sorrow. They're going to spend a second week being judged according to their works and being purified in the lake of fire. Proverbs 30, verse 20. Such is the way of an adulterous woman. She eats false doctrines. It's talking about doctrines. That's what food is. She eats and wipes her mouth and says, I've done no wickedness. Sure, I believe in an eternal hellfire and the Trinity and the rapture and tithing a tithe of my income, all these false doctrines. I believe in them, and I have done no wickedness. Well, matter of fact, I'm a really righteous little woman. Revelation 18:6, reward her even as she rewarded you, and double unto her double according to her works. In the cup that she has filled, fill to her double. How much she has glorified herself and lived deliciously, so much torment and sorrow give her. For she saith in her heart, I sit a queen and am no widow, and shall see no sorrow. Well, I've got millions and billions of converts. I'm no widow. And to her was found in her was found the blood of the prophets, of prophets, saints, and all that were slain upon the earth. That's verse 24 of chapter 18. Revelation 20, verse 11, I saw a great white throne, and he that sat on it, him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. Didn't say when they were raised. It just says they are raised. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged every man according to their works. When I say it doesn't say when in that verse. It does say later in this verse, in this chapter, when the dead who did not die in Christ will come up, and it'll be after the 1,000 years. The chapter 20, verse 14. Here it is. Death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. Second group of people who die to the old man in the lake of fire. That's where their death takes place. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life, whoever was not given part in the blessed and holy first resurrection, what Christ calls the resurrection of life, the blessed and holy first resurrection of 1,000 years earlier was cast into the lake of fire. This great harlot and her daughters require a second week of the same fiery purification endured by the man-child. It will simply require twice as much time for her and her daughters to be purified. 2 weeks instead of a week. 66 days instead of 33. Leviticus 12:5, but if she bear a maid child, then shall she be clean unclean 2 weeks in her separation, as in her separation, and she shall continue in the blood of her purifying 66 days, twice as many as the man child. Galatians 2:20. I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Yet not I, but Christ lives in me. And the life that I now live in this present time, in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Christ is the author and the finisher of our faith, and the goal or the prize of the mark of the high calling for the elect is to be found in that blessed and holy first resurrection, which is a pure gift given to the very few who first trusted in Christ. Ephesians 1:11, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated. Predestinated means destined to be first. Pre is before the rest of the world. According to the purpose of him who works all things after the counsel of his own will. All things means the good and the bad. That we, those who are predestined, destined to be first, should be to the praise of his glory who first trusted in Christ. Since all things come alike to all, that would mean that there is a process of judgment within these first 2 weeks of the maid child, which are crammed into 1 week of fiery trials for the man child. And as such, we see judgment is on the house of God now. This is for the man child here. 1 Peter 4:12, beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you. It is to try you. It's going to happen, as though some strange thing happened to you. But rejoice, inasmuch as you are partakers of Christ's suffering, that when his glory shall be revealed, you may be glad with exceeding joy. It is a blessing to go through the trials of this life for those who know what it's all about, know that it's for Christ's glory. 1 Peter 4:17, same chapter, just a few verses later. For the time has come that judgment must begin. Begin. It's not over in this life. Begin at the house of God. And if it first begin in us, God's judgment, what shall the end be of them that obey not the gospel of God? Well, judgment will be finished at the great white throne. It only begins with us. 1 Peter 4:18, and if the righteous scarcely be saved, where shall the ungodly and the sinner appear? Peter, that's a rhetorical question. He knew they would be judged at the great white throne. He may not have heard of the great white throne, but he knew what Christ had said about the resurrection of judgment. Hebrews 12:2, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of God, of the throne of God. Philippians 3:14, I press toward the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus, the blessed and holy first resurrection. That's what he's talking about there. This gets into the 70-week prophecy in Daniel, which talks about Christ being cut off in the middle of the week. The two witnesses who represent the elect finish Christ's ministry, or the 3.5-year witness, which is only able to be accomplished with Christ in them. Their ministry is 3.5 years, 1,260 days, 42 months. It's all the same thing. And the two witnesses complete the week of Christ's ministry, which was halted in mid-flight. The completed ministry of Christ is therefore only a week, man-child, and not 2 weeks, as it is for the maid-child. Daniel 9:27, he shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week, and in the midst of the week he shall cause the sacrifice and oblation to cease, and for the overspreading of abominations he shall make it desolate, even unto the consummation, and that determined shall be poured out upon the desolate. That's our old man that's going to be made desolate. Revelation 11:3, and I will give power to my two witnesses, and they shall prophesy 1,260 days, 3.5 years, 42 months, any way you want to put it, it's all the same amount of time, and it stands for that last half of Christ's sufferings, Christ's witness. 3.5 years clothed in sackcloth. Leviticus 12:2-6. When the days of her purifying are fulfilled for a son or for a daughter, she shall bring a lamb of the first year for a burnt offering, and a young pigeon or a turtle dove for a sin offering, unto the door of the tabernacle of the congregation, unto the priest. The lamb of the first year is indeed is needed for both the son and the daughter, which is another way of saying all mankind are reconciled by his blood. Being forgiven again is only part of the process. We must fill up in our bodies that which is behind of the afflictions of the Christ in our flesh for his body's sake, which is the church. We do that. Colossians 1:24, who now rejoice in my sufferings for you. Paul wasn't any different than we are. He had to fill up the afflictions of Christ too. And fill up that which is behind of the afflictions of Christ in my flesh for his body's sake, which is the church. Christ's Adamic flesh is tied to the woman, as is our flesh. However, only Christ was able to escape the vanity of the flesh by way of the Holy Spirit. And when we say the vanity of the flesh, it doesn't mean he avoided the flesh. He lived in it and struggled with it just like we do. But he escaped falling to its pulls, and he's the only one who ever has. And until the gift of the Holy Spirit was given on Pentecost, our faith was yet in vain. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 14. If Christ be not risen, then our preaching is vain, and your faith is also vain. Christ was resurrected and will save all mankind in their appointed time. Our sins are forgiven as the woman, the church, the body of Christ. However, we're in the process of being saved. In other words, being saved is not just to have our sins forgiven, but also to have our nature changed. As we go from glory to glory to the eventual first resurrection, where our Lord now resides in his own fullness and in earnest within everyone who has Christ within them. Leviticus 12, verse 7, who shall offer it before the Lord and make an atonement for her, and she shall be cleansed from the issue of her blood. This is the law for her that is born a male or a female. Ephesians 1 verse 14, which is the earnest, the mere down payment of our inheritance, talking about the gift of the Holy Spirit, until the redemption of the purchased possession, the blessed and holy first resurrection, unto the praise of his glory. The issue of blood from which the woman must be cleansed is the process of growing in grace and knowledge, as we have all of our false doctrines rooted out of us. In other words, our blood is purified by being washed with the Word of God. Leviticus 12, verse 8. And if she be not able to bring a lamb, then she shall bring two turtle doves or two young pigeons, one for the burnt offering and the other for a sin offering. And the priest shall make an atonement for her, and she shall be clean. These many divergent sacrifices, which are needed in this shadow of old, represent degrees of getting dominion over the sin in our life today. And as the sin is conquered by Christ within us, our comprehension will increase in matters of the Spirit. 1 Corinthians 10:11. Now, all these things happened to them by way of example, and they were written for our admonition upon whom the ends of the ages are come. 1 Peter 1, 2, 12. To whom it was revealed that not to themselves, boy, this is a bombshell verse for those of you who have never seen it before. To whom it was revealed that not unto themselves, but unto you, Did they minister these things, which are now being announced unto you through them that preach the gospel to you by the Holy Spirit, sent forth from heaven, which things the angels desire to look into? Now, when it says they in that verse, it's talking about the Old Testament people, all of them, themselves. They did minister to you and me, not to themselves. It says not unto themselves. All of the Psalms, all the Proverbs, all of the prophets, all of the Old Testament happened to them, and it's written for our admonition, not unto themselves. Not for now, anyway. It will be in time, but right now, God is not trying to save the world. God is the one who orchestrates the whole procedure, creating the sin within us and bringing us to the point where we can confess our sins. By his goodness, we are led to repentance and offer up the needed sacrifice, which in the case of this story in Leviticus is a shadow of our recognizing that Christ's life was taken for our sins. We may understand that Christ died for our sins, but as we are forgiven, but as we are given to grow to understand the deeper purpose of Christ's life within us, we will bring greater offerings unto the altar of God, which is the cross that we are called to carry. When we bear each other's burdens, we fulfill the law of Christ. Romans 2:4. Or despise you the riches of his goodness and forbearance and long-suffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leads you to repentance. That goodness of God is clearly identified and defined in Psalms 107. Mark 8, verse 34 through 35. And when he had called the people to him with his disciples also, he said to them, whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it. But whosoever shall lose his life for my sake, in other words, take up his cross and follow me and the Gospels, the same shall save it. Galatians 6:2. Now this is part of bearing the cross of Christ. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. With all that's been said to this point, let's now examine some of the shadows and types in God's word which should reveal the significance of the number six as we compare line upon line and precept upon precept, which is what we're told in Isaiah 28, verse 15. The word of the Lord was unto them precept upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, line upon line, here a little and there a little, that they may go and fall backward and be broken and snared and taken. There's a negative and a positive side to virtually every word in Scripture. The world doesn't know that. They can't see that. But the Lord has opened our eyes to see that. That cloud was dark on one side and bright on the other, and yet it was the same cloud. So, before we are through this study, I hope to show a few examples of the positive and negative use of the number six. Here's a list of some events which will hopefully strike us as in revealing the true significance of the number six, whether that would be in the negative or positive view of the number. The more important exercise in understanding the number six is seeing its close connection to incomplete mankind and to Christ, the church, which can then allow us to more deeply appreciate everywhere else in God's word where the number or multiple of that number is mentioned. A good exercise is just to do a search for the number six in Esau. And you could study the number six until the cows come home. Here are some examples of that. The last two kings of Israel did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord. They both reigned 11 years. And 11, of course, is 6 plus 5. which shows that the number 11 carries with it the mark of the beast, and that's the six, and five for the grace and faith, which is how all men will be saved and brought to the foundation of Christ. The number 12. 2 Kings 23:36. Jehoiakim was 25 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 11 years in Jerusalem. And his mother's name was Zebudah, the daughter of Pedaiah of Ruma. The 2 Chronicles 36, verse 5. Jehoiakim was 25 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 11 years in Jerusalem. And he did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord his God. And 2 Kings 24, verse 18. Zedekiah was 21 years old when he began to reign. And he reigned 11 years in Jerusalem. And his mother's name was Hamutal, the daughter of Jeremiah of Libna. 2 Chronicles 36:11. Zedekiah, the last king of Israel, Judah, was 1 and 20 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 11 years in Jerusalem. And he did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord, and humbled not himself before Jeremiah the prophet, speaking from the mouth of the Lord. 2 Chronicles 36:13. He also rebelled against King Nebuchadnezzar, who had made him swear by God, but he stiffened his neck and hardened his heart from turning unto the Lord God of Israel. Leah, who was Jacob's first wife, signifying our old man, bore Jacob six sons and was rejected of him as a type of our flesh being put off. When Jacob brought his family down into Egypt, after finding out that his son Joseph was still alive, it says that all the souls that came with Jacob, this is Genesis 46:26, all the souls that came with Jacob into Egypt, which came out of his loins, besides Jacob's sons' wives, all the souls were 66. 66. When the Israelites left Egypt, there were 6,000 men besides 600,000 men besides children. Exodus 12:37. And the children of Israel journeyed from Ramses to Succoth, about 600,000 on foot that were men besides children. When Pharaoh pursued, there were 600 chariots. Exodus 14, verse 7, he took 600 chosen chariots, all the chariots of Egypt, and captains over every one of them. All this was pertaining to the flesh. Negative application of the number 6. In the book of Chronicles, when Samuel was talking about Solomon, when his empire was at its greatest, we're told that the weight of the gold that came to Solomon in 1 year was 666 talents of gold. 1 Kings 10:14. Now the weight of gold that came to Solomon in 1 year was 666 talents of gold. This tells us that his empire had gotten as great as it was going to be, and had apostatized from the obedience, from obedience to the Lord. Goliath had a fellow giant with six fingers on each hand and six toes on each foot. 1 Chronicles 20:5. There was war again with the Philistines, and Elhanan the son of Jair slew Lami, the brother of Goliath, the Gittite, whose spear staff was like a weaver's beam. 1 Chronicles 20:6. And yet again there was war in Gath. There was a man of great stature whose fingers and toes were 4 and 20, six on each hand, six on each foot. And he also was the son of the giant. Goliath himself was 6 cubits high, and his spear's head was 600 shekels of iron. 1 Samuel 17, verse 4. There went out a champion out of the camp of the Philistines named Goliath of Gath, whose height was 6 cubits and a span. And the staff of his spear was like a weaver's beam. And his spear's head weighed 600 shekels of iron. And one bearing a shield went before him. Nebuchadnezzar's image of gold was 60 cubits high and 6 cubits wide. Daniel 3, verse 1. Nebuchadnezzar the king made an image of gold whose height was 60 cubits and the breadth thereof 6 cubits. And he set it up in the plain of Dura in the province of Babylon. This is a negative use of the number 6. The Israelites had to gather their food for 6 days in the wilderness, and when they rested on the Sabbath, which was the type of our entering into the rest that God provides from the true manna from heaven, provides from the true manna from heaven, Jesus Christ. Exodus 16:21. They gathered it every morning, every man according to his eating, and when the sun waxed hot, it melted. And it came to pass that on the sixth day they gathered twice as much bread, 2 omers for one man, and all the rulers of the congregation came and told Moses. And he said to them, "This is that which the Lord has said. Tomorrow is the rest of the holy Sabbath unto the Lord. Bake that which you will bake today, and seethe that which you will seethe, and that which remains over, lay up for you to be kept until the morning." And they laid it up until the morning, as Moses bade. And it did not stink, neither was there any worm therein. And Moses said, "Eat that today, for today is the Sabbath unto the Lord. Today you shall not find it in the field." And a Hebrew servant served for 6 years and was then set free. Exodus 21:2. If you buy a Hebrew servant, 6 years shall he serve, and in the seventh year he shall go out free for nothing. There are many other stories and combinations of the number 6, both negative and positive, which can be very instructive in learning the mind of Christ. The number 6 in God's Word reveals how all flesh, including Christ's flesh, is sinful flesh and tied to the earth, which is an incomplete but necessary part of the Lord's creation. And I hope we're able to more clearly see the connection between the number 6 to the earth and the church, mankind, and Christ himself. Your brother in Christ, Tony Cullen. And you can reach Tony at Anthicol. Is that the same one he's got now, or is that, yeah, Simpatico. That's the right one. Okay, that's our study for today. And thank you, Tony. That was rich.